Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, Season 17, Colorado Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
We are, what, episode 4 now, right? Are we feeling good now? Because, you know, we're past the weddings, all 4.5 of them. We're getting ready to go to the last of the night. We've gotten to the weddings, we've gotten to the receptions. How you feeling as we get ready to start watching this episode?
So this is where it's interesting because, you know, all the buildup for the weddings and everything else, this is where it gets good. Right. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see what these two are going to be like without everybody around at the receptions and all that. And so a lot of things got exposed to me. I'm looking at some of these folks. I'm just like, I think some of my predictions from last week are not going to come to light, but we shall see. And apparently we got to, you know, some people need to learn how to be a gentleman. Maybe that's just the Texas boy and me coming out from the South, but some people need to learn what it's like to be a gentleman.
Apparently. I mean, not everybody's got some brought up see now. That's the one thing we know just within our travel. So let's go ahead and get into this week's episode, right? Let's start with this couple right here, Becca and Austin. And, you know, the thing I noticed since you're talking about everything else, the snuggle convo, I think, with these two and where they were going to sleep and snuggle till they sleep. Then, you know, get to your side of the bed. This is good because you're having these conversations that are necessary when you're marrying a stranger and it's the first time y'all are getting in bed together. If this was after the club, it wouldn't matter. But this is about to be for life, right?
I would agree. I think these are the real things. It's not about, you know, do you want to have kids and your career? It's like, wait, where do you sleep?
Right.
What side is your side of the bed? Let's talk about the important stuff. I'd have to be like, show me your toothpaste. Do you squeeze it from the middle or the bottom? Mm-hmm. Squeeze it from the middle, we're going to have a problem. Can't.
Right.
So I think these are some good conversations. But why does Austin have to wear a hat to bed? Like, you get out of your tux and you throw a hat on just to get in bed. I'm like, why? You're a little too extreme with the hat thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that was his. You noticed the hat. I didn't even notice the hat in the lead up to the wedding. You noticed it. So were you really surprised when he broke it back out? I mean, Becca was, but.
I was because you're about to go to bed. Like, why are you put it? Like, are you about to do a trick before you go to bed? You know, is there some magic trick you're going to do with the hat before you go to bed? No. Because if they were going to sit up all night and play Nintendo and he throws the ball cap on, makes sense. But you're literally about to go to bed. I just didn't understand it. But you do you if it makes him feel good.
So that's his attire. Well, Becca, who usually goes in a baggy t-shirt, decided, you know what? I'm going to give Austin some PJs. Because this, and then she's like, wait a minute, or maybe I should have given it a baggy shirt so it could go up from here as opposed to, because he's going to get the PJs tonight, but at some point it's going to get back to what it usually is, which is the baggy t-shirt. Great strategy or what?
You know, I'm a believer, however you get comfortable to go to sleep, you do you. Don't try to wear or do something different. If it's not going to make you comfortable so you can relax and go to bed, it's not worth it. And I think Austin's the kind of guy that he wouldn't care. I don't think that he's going to have an issue with whatever she wore to bed. If he's getting in bed with a ball cap, I doubt he's going to be judgmental about her PJs or baggy t-shirt.
Facts. Now, look, before we get on to the next couple, there's a poll that we put up on YouTube. So have you seen, a lot of people have taken it already. A couple people have taken it so far. What would you do on wedding night if you were on Married at First Sight? And I'm using this poll because I actually stole this poll straight from tonight's episode, well, last night's episode. And the options are just sleep, maybe a little smooch, kiss and cuddle, or hey, no restrictions. So, hey, vote. Let's see what this poll reveals. If you were on Married at First Sight, what would you do on the wedding night, first night out? Next couple. Everybody's favorite couple at first, Lauren and Orion. First thing I noticed is that she's setting the rules and the tone of the marriage already. And she's going to run this entire relationship. Right or wrong?
Well, I think she does have that alpha female energy. I think she is going to run that relationship. you know, she's already dressing him and putting him in outfits. And hey, you're going to wear this to bed. So I would be surprised at the end of this season, we're going to see Orion with like a little barrette or something.
Stop it.
Still bonnets.
Because, okay, let's be honest. Let's just talk about the elephant in the room. It's the cover for the thumbnail for this episode, the Bonnet Buddies, right? He's got long hair. And apparently he doesn't know how to really take care of it too well. He's just like, well, you know, and she's like, well, I have something for you. Now, to be fair, guys with locks often have their hair wrapped as well at night. Mm-hmm. So is the bonnet such a non-masculine thing?
Yes, it is. I mean, because that's not the type of bonnet. Like, when he had locks, it'd be totally different. But I don't feel like this is your first night with your wife. I want her to be attracted to me. And I want to feel sexy. Bonnet's not going to do it. I mean, tell me, ladies in the chat. If your man wore a bonnet to bed, are you still going to get it on? Or are you going to be like, hey, why are you doing that?
Well, El Raymond agrees with you. He says, I don't care how much hair my man has. We're both not wearing bonnets. So does that mean you wear it and he doesn't? And then next night he wears it and you don't? It's not like y'all sharing the same bonnet.
That's how you get lice.
Well, if you sleep in the same bed, you're going to get it anyway. Yeah. I just want to point that out.
Well, and I agree with El Ramey. A do-rag, yes. I wore a do-rag at one point. I get that. Mm. But I'm not going to wear a bonnet. I just, I don't know. I was hoping that he was going to be like, oh, yeah, no, thank you. And I'm good. But he put it on anyway, and now they're bonnet buddies, which to me says, best friends.
So look, you see this right here, right? So the do-rag line is okay. But keeping his curls fresh, Samantha says, my man won't be wearing a bonnet. Danielle says, nope, mood killer. I like this one. James says, big worm energy, Friday. They're trying to go the opposite of big worm. They're trying to go somewhere else. Black Tornado says, bonnet is not hot. Katie says, only black men have issues with bonnets. I swear, it's just the way she took it out, gave besties. So, Katie has no issue with the bonnet.
Yeah, but look, Kimberly Williams says, I don't even feel sexy when I wear a bonnet. I mean, I just don't think that's your first night with your wife that you're going to wear the bonnet. Now, maybe down the line, you could probably get away with that, but I'm personally not wearing one on national TV. In front of all my friends, like Kevin Hart? No.
What if that's all she's wearing?
Halle Berry could come in my house right now, butt naked, with a bonnet on, and the first thing I do when I go to kiss her, I'm going to be like, mwah, and take that bonnet right off.
Oh my God, I can't believe this, man. I mean, you know, well, okay. Is it still too much, though? This is where I had the issue. You have the issue with the bonnet. I have the issue with him still asking her. It's the wedding night. I get it at the altar. Can I kiss you? Do you mind if I kiss you? But does he have to ask her again that night? You already been kissing at the reception. I think that barrier's already been broken. Once you kiss, you can't miss. It's okay.
Well, it could be because of that masculine energy that she has, that BD energy where he's like, it's like prison rules. He has to ask. Like, I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow. Lauren's like, Orion, you need to sit down when you pee from now on. New rule.
I found one drop on the floor. Now you got to sit down from here. That is funny. Our next couple here, Claire and Cameron, right? The first thing I thought seeing them was, how on earth did it get this awkward this quickly?
Well, it started from them where they walked into the honeymoon suite. Because did you notice that Cameron unlocks the door and he goes in first. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to open the door and kind of let her go first?
Hold up. No. I brought this up last episode and y'all said it was fine.
No, what happened was Brennan and Emily were walking into the reception and Emily grabbed the door. Cameron used the key to open the door and walked in first. And then Claire flew behind him. And then, that I noticed that. I was like, I'm going to give him a pass. It was when he was helping her undo the dress is when it all went south. Because he made that one comment that I think dried Claire up for the night is when he said, they make these so horny grooms have to put in a lot of work. I was like, why would you say that? And I get it. He's joking, but y'all aren't there yet.
Yes. There's a time and a place. And, only thing she could probably think is he's probably going to be like, here comes a big truck. It's okay to make jokes early. At some point, the jokes have to stop and you have to know when. And he obviously has no idea. I agree with you. I think that was the moment. Because she was like, no, that's it. That's fine. And he's like, well, there's so many more. No, I'll figure a way out.
Yeah, because you just made it all creepy. It's like, ooh, these are some good buttons back here. Yeah, you made it creepy. So she was done for the night. And it just got worse after that. Like every little interaction. And then he's like, knock on the door. And I'm like, dude, you just about to walk in the bathroom while she's still in there. And he's like, hey, you mind if I take a shower? And then she's like, I just need to brush my teeth. Well, go ahead and do that. I'm like, y'all are just weird now. You're just very awkward.
Now, a couple of things here, because there's a lot about Cameron, and I'm going to get to those in a second, but I just want to point out, Nikki B says she, meaning Claire, is nasty. The dress was thrown in the corner, and she didn't take a shower. Well, we don't know that, because they didn't show her taking a shower, but we know Cameron said he was going to go take a shower. We still, you know what? No, you're right, because when she climbed in the bed, the bottom of her feet were dirty. You're right, she didn't take a shower. I'm sorry, I'll take it back. I saw that.
I didn't like seeing the dress on the corner in the floor by the toilet. I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, I don't even do that in hotels. And it's your wedding dress, which tells me maybe she's just not feeling the whole thing anyway. And if she didn't take a shower after all that and got in bed, I'd be turned off too.
But you knew she didn't because the bottom of her feet looked like us. And she's pale. If I'm just gonna give you shades here, I'll give you some couple shades here, okay?
I didn't even notice that. But if her bottom of her feet were dirty and she didn't shower, that's just disgusting. After all the dancing, sweating, and everything you've been doing.
Clean bed?
Yeah, no.
Now, here's the thing though, a lot of people are saying this about Cameron, like Frappe and T saying Cameron lacks chivalry. Chow Cole says Cameron is a jerk and he don't like her. Gemini Dreams is saying that Cameron is giving douche vibes. Chocolate Suna says he's the only one that showered though. So all those things you're saying, at least he took a shower.
Yeah. Now, Claire's gross if she didn't do that. Yeah. And I think she's part of the problem too, because I think everybody's giving Cameron a hard time. Claire has some problems. Like, I don't know what her deal is, but maybe she needs to see a therapist because she has some issues.
Now, something to be is pointing out something here. Said, and because, of course, again, we like to say this. We did not watch the after party. OK, but Claire said at the after party that he was not attracted to her. So she was confused about his comments about the sexual energy, right? Because that's one of the things he did say early on was that she was not exuding any sexual energy. So that's where he's kind of like, he's not feeling that. So when he comes out of the shower, he just dives into the bed, head first, side first, really, like a mummy, fully robed. And it's just like, all right, I'm good. And the line of the night, she's like, you going to sleep? As soon as you stop talking, I'll be asleep.
Yo! What? Yeah, I was like, wow, Cameron, you got no chill whatsoever. And of course, it's Claire mixed signals, but Claire's also given a lot of mixed signals too. Mm-hmm. For her to be, I was thinking that when they first met, that she'd probably be a good communicator. because right. I thought maybe that's what Cameron could use too, as somebody that can really, because we know Cameron needs help, but she's terrible at communicating. She just wants him to just use the force and figure her shit out. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Hey, I just want to point something out here real quick, right? Because LG says this, calling a black woman masculine, but not calling Claire masculine is actually wild. I'm trying to understand that comment because it's like, I think the alpha comment you made about Lauren was about her energy was
alpha
that
female,
way, right?
Alpha female.
Exactly. She's an alpha female. Masculine. And there are a lot of people in the comments who said early on, from episode one on, that Lauren, that Orion is a feminine in that relationship. He's the lesser of the two. And it just feels like this is calling it the other way. So I'm just trying to understand that one. I just thought we should bring this up, especially we're on Claire and Cameron right now. Because I don't get the masculine or even the dominant vibes out of Claire. Because Cameron is a little too strong for her anyway.
Yeah, no. Cameron's way too strong for Claire. But I don't see Claire as masculine. I just see her as gross. There's that. And if that's a masculine trait of being nasty, and not taking a shower and putting your dirty feet in the bed, well, then yes, Claire too is masculine.
Yeah, I guess that makes me non-masculine then. Put my dirty feet in the bed. All right. Next couple up, Emily and Brennan. First of all, Brennan is the only one that took his new bride over the threshold. Come on.
Yeah, he did. Good for him. Good for him that he did that. I don't think Orion could put Lauren or carry her over the threshold. And I think Becca probably wouldn't allow Austin to do it.
Right.
So Claire doesn't want to be touched. So, yes, I can see why he didn't.
Look, I will say this, no, especially after the awkwardness we saw in the last couple, Claire and Cameron, no awkwardness with this couple, right? They get to the room, and as he's taking off, helping her out of the dress, and you know, obviously this is something that they're having everybody do, help her out of the dress, as he's helping out of the dress, and she said, like, yo, she gave him the, what was that, from Boomerang? Marcus, I'm not wearing any panties.
Marcus, darling.
First thing, I'm like, yo, this couple's going to be the first one to get it on. Plain and simple, right?
I thought so, too. I mean, that was my first note about this couple. I'm like, I think they're going to consummate tonight. It's going to be on and popping.
That is exactly what I thought. By the way, thank you, L. Ramey, for the super chat. She says, drinks on me, guys. Thank you.
Hell this, to the yeah.
This vodka.
This is water because I didn't have time to stop at the liquor store on my way home.
But definitely greatly appreciate the super chat there. Now, this couple, as we're both thinking, they're both about to have sex, right? We get to the next day and we find out that Emily says she decided not to have sex the first night because she felt like Brennan wanted to take it slow. That was nice of her. Now, and if you want to give masculine and energy on this one, because she's ready to get it on. And if the man's always ready to get it on, this is what Emily gives.
Well, but maybe this is why she's not been in relationships. Mm-hmm. Because she, and I'm not saying, I'm very sex positive. I don't think there should be any weight limit. Women can have sex with whoever. Mm-hmm. But maybe, you know, you go to a restaurant and the food and service isn't good, you don't really go back. Mm. And so maybe there's some problems. And then, so she's like, let me hold off on giving you all the goods. And let's just get to know each other a bit, build a bit of foundation to where he don't run once he finds out the fries are soggy. And stay. Yeah.
Well, the problem is, if you show the whole kitchen, sometimes if you go to Waffle House sober, you're probably not going back, right? So here's the problem I have. It's like she's saying before they even get to the room that, you know, oh, I got the handcuffs, I got this. On the first, you just met this man.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that she's into some extra things, but mm-hmm. I don't want someone to break out a whip and handcuffs on me night one.
Right.
You got to like ease me into some of that stuff. And well, I'm not getting whipped. I got whipped as a kid. I didn't like it. Didn't turn me on then.
I don't think that's what your mama was trying to do.
Yeah, no. I don't like getting hit with anything. So
High Five says Emily's a whole freak. That's the problem. And James has his own prediction here. Says, look, I think they did it. His own observation. He says his shirt, as in Brennan's shirt, was off in the morning. Couples have lied before. We have seen this. Couples have lied before.
I did notice that. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, but his shirt's off. But I'm like, what if it was hot? What if, you know, who knows?
Maybe it is Denver. It could have been hot. You're right. There's snow outside, but it was probably hot. You are absolutely right. You know, Nikki B says giving it up early isn't the issue. Giving up trash poom poom is. Now, Terrell, you have said before, you've been on record saying there's no such thing as bad sex for a guy.
Right. Now, but there's sex that you wouldn't repeat, but I can't say it was bad. Mm. You know, back to my restaurant analogy, surgery, I still ate. I'm just never going back there again. And that could be it. Maybe her game is weak. And the dudes are like, oh, that was terrible. Because we've all been there where, hey, we finished. But we're like, man, I just hurried up to get out of there. Like, I was thinking of someone else to try to help me get through it.
Ladies, yes, men can fake it. Just know that.
Go through that mental Rolodex and like, think of someone else.
Well, here's the thing. We do know that he didn't have his shirt off because it was hot. Because one of the things we did find out is Emily likes the windows open in the winter. And Brennan does not. So Brennan likes to keep the heat inside. If Emily had her shirt off, I'd have said, okay, yeah, maybe. That would have been it. But no, that wasn't the case. So
I don't know. But, you know, apparently, I'll take her word for it right now, that they held off, which I think is good for both of them.
Indeed. Because leading with sex is not the issue. Some people had done it the first night and been fine. Some people have waited 90 days and still not made it. So it is what it is. Now, meeting with the families, right? And we'll run through these as we get through these couples on the second day. Emily met with Brennan's parents and his friend Richie. What'd you think when they asked her, what kind of wife do you want to be?
That's a weird question.
It is.
I think it's a little weird late. Question. Yeah, because hey, I'm already the wife, so I don't know, you know, and. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think that's a fair question because I would believe, and you know more about this than I do because you're married and you have the beams of light that shoot out of your fingers. As you grow with a person, you kind of grow to what type of couple you're going to be. You just can't be with somebody that said, meet someone on first date. I'm expecting a wife that's going to be like this. And so you better start being these things today. So I thought that was just a weird question, but I don't think his friends and family, as they're talking to Emily, I mean, they just can't get over the not being a relationship thing.
They can't get over that, but I wonder if they, because of that, they purposely threw some other red flags in there for her or some orange flags just so that she'd have something to look out for. Because Richie said Brennan is stubborn and his mom was like, well, you know, he tends to be abrupt. And she's like, abrupt? What do you mean? Do you mean he can have? Yes, he can have a little temper. Do you think they're setting her up here or are these are fair warnings?
I think it's just they're being honest. But if you look at some of the things they said, I put potential red flags. He can be stubborn, has a temper, gets annoyed when things don't go his way.
Right.
And then if you factor that into the conversation Brennan had with Emily's family, where they said, how do you feel about Emily working late all the time? She works a lot. And he says, I'd be okay with it as long as she gives me some notice.
Right.
I was like,
Comes off a little controlling, doesn't it? The way you just said that. But,
I mean. Give you some notice?
Like, yeah.
And I get it. I need
2 weeks
worth
notice that you're going to be late.
Yeah, but I'm just, come on, sometimes you work late.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was just a weird question. He said he struggles with dealing with conflict.
Right.
So I could just see them having some challenges.
you know, it's when you put those two comments together, right? Because him say, I struggle with conflict, but not really explaining how. Right. And then you hear he's stubborn and he's got a little bit of a temper. Now you understand the struggles with conflict. He is the struggle in the conflict.
Yeah, he's the one.
Yep. So let's see. Next couple up here on the next day. Let's go back to the couple with no, that was pretty awkward. Claire and Cameron. And it stayed weird. I didn't get Cameron's story about his grandmother. And the carrots. I was totally lost.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, this story is weird. Your grandmother was sending Morse code to order more carrots in the war. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is all that? And again, this is where I think Cameron is just awkward. Because I guess he's just trying to talk about his grandmother that he loved and how she never said that she loved him. And so maybe he's trying to explain why he's not a words of affirmation person. But it still comes off weird. And so I think the more that he talks to her, the more Claire's like, WTF.
It seemed like it was almost, he talks about her to get to the point to say what you said. I'm not about these words of affirmation. I'm not the person that will tell you, I can think I love you. I can know I love you. I can feel I love you and never say it. And then come home and jump all over you. And Claire's like, wait, hold up. Back up. Because that's not how this works. Because this is what, but here's the thing. I didn't hear her say as strongly as Lauren said at the wedding that she needs to be told these things.
Right.
Did I miss
it? Well, and I think she was trying to say that her family, that's just how they are. They communicate their feelings. They talk about that.
Right.
And so that's going to be important to him. But it was just a weird interaction. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so he gets to go meet the family and where they do the family deal. So I thought it was interesting when Cameron's friends told Claire they feel like he's ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But she has to warm up on his sweet side. And they said that he's definitely not a romantic.
Right.
As we have seen.
We have seen it. And here's the interesting thing was when he met her family, her sisters and her mom, and they seemed very concerned, especially when he was telling them that he expresses his love physically. And they were like, say what? Come again?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking is when he was talking about that, I mean, they're just seeing all types of red flags with Cameron. I think Cameron is really smart. I think he's really a smart guy. He's just socially awkward, maybe on the spectrum somewhere. He's just different. And I think that's what just makes him odd. And so when he's meeting these folks, like, he can't read the room. You can't look at Claire's mom's face and realize that she's just like, what?
Exactly.
What are you talking about? You know?
Joslo says there's a reason he left New Zealand. It probably is. By the way, Kitty says that story makes no sense, the story that his grandmother told. Allison has a great, she has a great answer for it. Cameron's grandmother literally invented carrots. and Nikki B, I think she deciphered it for us, says grandma fed false info to Hitler.
So. I don't know, but he is a trip. And then after meeting the family, Cameron said that they will need to work on how they communicate based on her family's feedback.
Right. So yes.
He's heard it. Now let's see if he actually works on it.
Yeah, something tells me that's not going to happen. But before we see what else he does wrong, because you know he's going to do a whole lot wrong in this episode, our next couple, Becca and Austin, their combo the next morning was weird and lighthearted when it started until Becca really started explaining what was going on with her. And I think that really showed, one, her comfort was sharing this. Because remember, she didn't want to do it the first night. She's like, that's a lot to unload on somebody on the wedding night. But I like the fact that she did it the next morning.
Yeah.
We had a good day. Let's see if this is going to ruin it. And it's better to do it now than before we go to Mexico.
Right. So she can understand why, you know, she might not want to do all the activities.
Right.
I thought it was great that she had the conversation, and it was really touching, you know, you know, for me. I mean, even I know I come across like an ass, but I have a heart. I was touched because Austin said,
"You do?
Okay, so like are you in pain like now or whatever?" And Becca makes the comment, I've pretty much been in pain for 10 years. I don't know what it's like to not be in pain. I'm like, shit. Could you imagine what she's dealing with and what she's had to go through? That was just, and her personality,
right?
She just seems like the life of the party, but she is hurting every day, but she just deals with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just like, man, that is just awesome. You know, but I think the way Austin handled it, I thought was great. So I was worried what was going to happen with that conversation, but I think it went off really well.
You know, indeed, Cynthia, I like this couple because I like the way he handled it. He seemed genuine in this interaction, right? And on the other side of that, it's Nikki saying Austin's half past midnight shadow makes him look musty. Wrong time. I just want to say, hey, by the way, shout outs to Allison for the super chat. Thank you. It says shots, shots, shots. I got the shots of vodka. He's got the shots of H2O. Good quality H2O.
Yeah, it'll be whiskey after I get done with the podcast.
Only because he doesn't want to leave me with you alone because he has no idea what I'm going to say if he does that. So, yeah, smart move, by the way. but with Becca and Austin, and they go to meet the family, Austin meeting with Becca's friends, Lindsay, Marina, and Nick. And Lindsay asks about, so did she tell you about her medical issues? And then goes to tell about Becca's lonely Christmas. And, you know, almost breaks down in tears in that moment. And again, to your point, Austin heard it in the room, reacted well then, and here he is in this session. Like, no, well, she doesn't have to worry about being, that's not going to happen. I'm here now.
Yes. Again, pulled at the heartstrings because, what I really liked about Becca's friends, out of every group, what do we always talk about when the friends have to talk to the partner? Like, you would never say anything bad about me. And so they didn't say one negative thing about Becca. You know, and that's what real friends should do. You should not be like, well, you got to understand she's stubborn and, you know, she does this. You know, they didn't do any of that. They just said nothing but sweet, awesome things. But it's stuff that he's already recognized. I thought his meeting with her friends and family just was perfect. It went great.
What'd you think of her meeting with his parents and his friends, Nick and Naveena? Because they were laughing, a lot of laughs with Nick and Naveena. I mean, and she seems like she'd fit right in with their crew. And then you glance over to the other side of the table and Mama's like, that's my son. My only son.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell her mom was still not feeling it. Parents are still skeptical. And her mom makes that comment, how reality will slap them in the face. Excuse me.
Some liquor would help that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So said her mom, you know, says that reality's going to slap them in the face. But I thought Becca handled it really well. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, giving your heart to someone is the scariest thing you can do.
Right.
And I think that's true. Right. Because anytime you start dating, it's like you might like somebody, but you're reserved because once you give someone all of you,
right,
you're exposed, you're vulnerable. And so she's fine with doing that. But I think she handled that conversation great.
Yes.
She didn't seem like she was intimidated by them. She was just still her outgoing self in front of that group, no matter what the pressure. She's sitting in the middle of the hot seat. And I think she handled it really well.
You know, this is actually a great comment from Assumpta B. It says, they are the White Amani and Woody of Married at First Sight. Perfect together. It's beautiful to watch. They were from New Orleans, Amani and Woody. They were such a great match. It seemed off from the very beginning, but they were a great match in the end, and they're going strong. They were definitely like the darling couple of that season that I know you didn't get to see. Jocelyn has a great question. She says, I can't remember. Did we meet her parents, as in Becca's parents? We didn't, right?
They were there at the wedding, mm-hmm. but they didn't. They weren't at this part.
Right. But and I think for some of the parents could be there for one thing, but not the next. Right. And, you know, I mean, hey, mom and daddy still got to work. We got bills to pay still, you know.
Right.
Now, our next couple, which was the pod favorite for the longest time, Lauren and Orion, they also did not have sex. But like Lauren said, you know, we did discuss it. Apparently, they discussed it in length, as she said, but not in girth. Otherwise, there would have been sex. I mean,
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, but here's the thing. I think the fact that you're talking about it mm-hmm. is good. Because yeah. let's be honest, you don't have sex conversations with somebody you would not want to sleep with. Right? If there's somebody you are nowhere near attracted to, you're not going to be like, so what's your favorite position? You're like, you're not even... No.
Sitting up with the remote in my hand.
You don't have sex conversation with somebody you're not sexually attracted to. And so that's positive for their relationship. Mm-hmm. And which I think is funny. So y'all laying there in bonnets talking mm-hmm. about sex. I think that's...
Hey, girlfriend, what you think about it? What's your favorite position? On top, mine too.
I like my hair pulled. Me too.
You're so stupid. Oh my God, I can't believe that. Well, let's get back to the families because they went to go meet the families, right? Jesus. You are stupid.
They're both pulling on each other.
I think we know who'd win that contest, but hell is wrong with you, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not even drinking. That's the water talk. Cheers.
Oh my God. And crazy thing is you can sit there and say, you know, I see no chemistry between this couple, more like friendship. It does come off that way, but here's where I have an issue with a statement like this, right? And it's not against you, Cynthia. It's just in the statement about, because I've seen this quite a bit. They're going to be great friends. They're not going to make it. We always say you should marry your... Okay, maybe it's not the place to say that. But you should be friends first, right? They always say that. Because they always say marry your best friend, right? But, you know, I mean, obviously not, because that's not what we do here. But... you gotta be friends with the person you marry. So why not start with the friendship that they have? And you may not see the chemistry, but apparently they do. They put bonnets on, looked into each other's eyes, and went, we're gonna have sex, just not right now. But it is on the table, and it could be on the table that they do it. So it's okay. Let them have that.
I still wanna wait and see. Because I totally get where Cynthia's coming from. And what a lot of people comment around the friend energy. And I see it. I see it too. But it's also what production is only showing us, that there could be more. Mm-hmm. But even if they're only friends, if you're still having a sex conversation, there's attraction. And so I'm just thinking that maybe they are trying to, like, let's build and not just get straight to the physical. Because you want to have a connection. It's not like I just want to smash and dash. You want to have a connection with this person. You were married. We're about to go to Cancun. So we got to, like, build something more than just the physical. And it seems like that's what they're doing.
Yo, they get to go meet the families and friends, right? And, hey, Melissa, I saw that. That's interesting. We'll talk about it after. Orion meets with Vieri and Tyra, who are Lauren's friends, and Marcellus, her brother. What'd you think when Tyra asked Orion, how does it feel to be married to an independent, strong black woman? Felt like she was trying to test him, not realizing this man has dealt with strong women his entire damn life.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about that.
Uh-oh. What?
I get what he was trying to do, but it's like, okay, let's kind of change that tone up a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're marrying a stranger, right? Don't you just met this person. It's one thing if you got a chance to get to know this strong black woman and then you propose, you got married. Hey, this is just right in my face. So what is he supposed to say to that?
Right.
So far, the last 18 hours has been pretty dope. I don't know what else to say. To, like, what's he going to say, right? But the fact that he's been around mostly women and a lot of strong women in his life, I don't think he's intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm. No, you know? At all. And that's, I think he did a great job answering their questions. And it looked like he kind of made them feel a little more at ease. I don't know. Tyra just looks like she's never going to be at ease. She's just like, okay, whatever. But Lauren is meeting with his sister, Bronte, and his mother. And I just thought this was weird and probably a little backwards. We don't like it when they're asking of the men. So how did you feel when Bronte asked Lauren, well, what are your intentions with my brother?
Again, well, I intend to stay married, and hopefully when we're in Cancun, I'm going to smash and pull his hair. What do you want me to say? You know.
It was just a weird question for me.
Yeah, it's like, a weird question. What is your intentions now that you're married to my brother? What's your goals here?
Hey, by the way, dealing with that strong black woman comment, KDM says, as a black woman, I continue to deny this label. I'm very soft and weak. Thank you very much. Soft doesn't mean weak. I just want to point that out.
No, it doesn't at all.
There's a lot of strength in that.
So where is he at? So when Orion is talking, he keeps talking about how he holds women in high regard and women being in charge, but I'm not sure that's the key to a successful relationship, in my opinion. It's great that you can have a lot of respect for your partner and all that, but it almost seems like he's woman worshiping. And like at some point, everyone has roles to play.
Okay, will you not worship your wife?
Yes, but it's a little bit different. Mm. You know, it's going to be a little bit different. I would, you know, I don't want to use the phrase worship. I would love and care for my wife, but I'm not going to like bow down to my wife. Not in the daylight. But yeah, I'm not going to do all that. But, and then what Orion said, that he has a decent check coming in, but doesn't sound like something that I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
That gives off broke vibes.
When they did ask about the financial stability, that told you a whole lot about his. But to be fair, when she was talking, Lauren was talking with his sister and his mom, she said, he told me about his living arrangement. I'm fine with that because of what his answer that he gave. She also said she wants to mesh cultures, which his mom seemed very happy about hearing that. And then when his sister asked about the age difference, Lauren was like, having met him, okay, I'm fine with it because he is younger. And we got to remember, she works in finance.
Mm-hmm.
This is her specialty.
It is, okay, but just because that's her specialty, you know, that's like saying, okay, you work in construction, so you're going to marry a girl who lives in a tent. Because you can build a house. So if his finances are really bad, and again, I don't know if they are, but if his finances are really bad, even though she's good at finances, that could be a problem.
Yeah. You know, after the meets and they all kind of get together, Lauren did something that the first thought I had was, Tara's not going to like this. She got the holiday hairdo. Braids. The great thing is we got to see, but when they say that, she has a wrap on, so you can't really see, because you say, hey, got to protect the edges, right? Mm-hmm. But then as we fast forward and get to the next day when all the couples, after they get the gift basket, know where they're going, all the couples are meeting in the lobby, we get to see her with her braids out. What'd you think of Lauren's braids?
I thought her braids were fine. Okay, I thought it looked good.
I got to ask every time.
I don't hate braids. I just don't date people with braids. But her braids look great. Lauren's beautiful, but her braids look fine.
So if your woman came home with the braids that Lauren had, you'd be fine then. So
my woman wouldn't come home with braids. She wouldn't look good in braids.
Oh, Oh my God. All right. Well, look. When the couple's in the lobby, right? Michael shows up solo. And everybody's like, what happened? And he's like, well, we'll get into that later. And then they were like, no, no, no. We're going to get into it now. What happened?
So Michael tells the group about the situation.
Yeah.
And he gets the sympathy card. But doesn't she deserve the same thing? You know what I mean? I just think that it sucks for Michael, but also kind of sucks for her too. So I think that, you know, we shouldn't villainize her for that. Right. And I don't think Michael has that attitude. But, you know, I'm waiting to see where they're going with this. Because, like, okay, why is he going to Mexico? What are y'all building up to?
Right. Well, that's what I thought too. Because they invited him to Mexico with them. Hey, come, we'd love to have you on the honeymoon. And the reason why is because they ask him if he wants an apology. And he's like, you know, I don't need one because it was a decision that she made for her own best interest. And I don't think anyone should have to apologize for that. And they're like, oh my God, you're going to make such a good husband for somebody. Thank God it's not me. Then they invite him to be the counselor on the honeymoon and he passes. Like, no, y'all go enjoy. They got some other plans for me.
I'm waiting to see what they have in store for him because I'm like, what are you on this trip for?
Right.
You know, so it is what it is.
Now, before we move on, there are a couple of questions here that popped up. CXM says, how do you not date someone with braids? LOL. And then follows up with, what about weave?
I've dated someone with weave before. It wasn't like a lot, but I've dated someone with weave before. I've just never really been attracted to braids. I don't understand why people get so offended by it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like if a woman says, I only date guys who are 6 feet and I'm 5'10", I'm not going to be upset about it. I just, hey, that's your preference. So I don't see why people really flip out when I make that type of comment.
You mean like this? What, Terrell? No braids?
Yeah. I've dated women with weed before. I don't like braids.
No vacation braids?
Yeah. I haven't been on vacation with someone where they would do vacation braids. I haven't really had that experience where we're going to Cancun and all that kind of stuff. Didn't happen.
Hey, braids over weave any day, man. I'll say that off the rip. Some strange reason weave just.
You don't like weave?
Anyway, that's a whole
nother. I think especially the women I've dated with weave, it was done really well to where you couldn't really tell. Because remember, you had to teach me about the wigs and all that stuff. I couldn't really tell, but I've seen some that don't look well.
the baby hair.
Yeah. I've seen some weaves that are terrible. But I've seen some weaves that are doing really well.
Her baby hair is amazing. That's not her baby hair. Again, I never tell somebody what to do. Just like, hey, don't tell me what to do with mine. But, you know, at the same time, it is what it is. I feel you. I have nothing against braids because braids look, to me, I like braids. But in your defense, when we were in Charleston in 22 last year, right? You were like, yes, there were some attractive women with braids. So it's not like
a lot of beautiful.
Like,
there's some beautiful.
You don't think braids are unattractive?
I don't think braids are ugly. All I said is I don't like to date women with braids, but I don't think they're ugly.
Because here's the automatic assumption:
this black girl's beautiful, but she has like the braids. I'm just it's cool. She's gorgeous, but I wouldn't date her.
Here's the wrong assumption right here automatically, because LG says must date non-black women. That's fine. Do you? It's like, no, that's not what that means.
I date all women.
Hold on, I'm defending you. You do yourself.
Yeah, no, I date all women, and people say what they like. That's totally fine. I date all women, but I don't see why people just, if I say I don't like braids, that means I don't like black women. I'm not saying that whatsoever. Says I just don't like to date women that wear braids. I've not dated a Hispanic woman that wore braids. I've not dated a white woman that wore braids. I've not dated a black woman that wore braids. I've dated a black woman with weave. I've dated Hispanic women with weaves. I've dated white women with weaves. So I just don't like braids. But I mean, I just laugh how people are just quick to, oh, well, you don't like black women. just because I make that comment. I mean, that's just really sensitive, in my opinion. And yeah, you do you. And if you only date black men, that's awesome. And be happy about that. Mm-hmm. But Jill, hey, everyone has a preference of things that they like.
Nikki B says, like, braids are expensive. That's why Taro doesn't like them.
I wouldn't be paying for it. I wouldn't be paying for it. But I'll get your nails done, but those braids. I don't see how you just sit in the chair that long. I'm impressed when people do that, like the time it takes. Could you imagine getting a 5 or 6 hour haircut? Like, I'm just like,
how do you do? Hey, you know what? Sometimes it feels like it because the barber can talk. When the barber decides to have lunch while he's cutting your hair,
it can feel like 5 or 6 hours. He's just cutting the back. Hey, I'm gonna eat the sandwich real quick. You're like, well,
like, Jesus Christ. Can you finish this real quick? Trust me, it's not that bad. Hey, Michelle says, how do we get here? Yeah, seriously, I apologize. I actually did that by just putting that up for him. Lily says, it's okay. I don't like oatmeal. And Lucy B says, you better be okay if our hair puffs up on vacation.
Yeah, great.
Hilarious. Look, I love it, man. You know, they're on the way to the airport to go to Cancun, right? Mm-hmm. And as they're talking about going to Cancun, like, hey, gotta be careful in Cancun. And Cameron decides to warn everybody not to wander too far off the reservation. And it makes for a slightly uncomfortable moment, or at least it could have been. But Lauren decides to make fun of it, make light of it, and I think makes it a little better. I can say, are you looking at my husband talking about reservation? Because Orion is indigenous.
Yeah. 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 I feel like that was also the equivalent of going, what do you mean, you people? Like,
yeah. I like how even Orion handled it, was like, hey, look, I don't allow any, it doesn't bother me with ignorant comments. And then everybody gets a little, like, oh my God, we're about to. He's like, no, ignorant means just not knowing. It's not a bad thing. It just means not knowing. And Cameron, in that moment, because he looked so concerned in that, like, he knew, oh crap. And he was just like, is this about to be a moment? And then once Orion said that, he goes, well, what about willful ignorance? And I think that's when everybody else finally let, we're good. There's a joke being made.
But again, this goes back to my point about Cameron. Like, he's socially awkward and just doesn't pick up on cues. Mm-hmm. You just have to think better. I would not make that comment to say, let's go off the reservation. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't say something like that. Mm-hmm. Knowing I'm sitting with this indigenous person. Like, you know, I'm like, hey, man, let's have a powwow real quick. I wouldn't do that.
Right. Kitty says, I think people are just too sensitive. High Vibe, on the other hand, says, look, Cameron knew what he was doing. He's a jerk. And James is right there along too. He says, yo, Buddy was fishing for a scrap and he said, willful ignorance. And Katie is saying it was a microaggression. No two ways about it.
Mm. Could be. You know, I'm going to give him a pass. I try to always assume positive intent. Does he have his challenges? Yes. But I don't think that was a microaggression that he was trying to pull there. I think he was just awkward and he's trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? So I'm going to try to play with this will for ignorance.
Well, speaking of he's got challenges, he sure did. Because when they got to Mexico, we see the first set of tension. And we can see this coming, though. They get into the room and the first disagreement come when Claire suggests, all right, they got upstairs and downstairs. I'll take your bag, you take mine. And he's like, yeah, you pack all the shit and I'll take it. I got to carry it. That was a microaggression. Let's be real.
Well, I think it could be, because as I was watching this last night, I was like, okay, is there any way I can give Cameron a pass on this one?
No.
Because he's not a gentleman.
At all.
But I was thinking that people who are frequent international travelers, mm-hmm. when they travel, that's just what they do. Mm-hmm. It's like when I'm in the airport, an international airport, and see people coming, I don't see the husband holding two luggage, you know, two suitcases on wheels, and the wife walking around the center. They're all doing their own thing. They're putting their own luggage in the bins. They just kind of have a cadence, right, and routine. maybe that's what he did, but he's just not a romantic person. He's not thinking
at all
in this way, in this relationship. He's not thinking about what she needs, and that's what she's used to. Mm. And this is where the problem lies.
Now, indeed, I mean, because it's not the fact that he was leaving her behind in the airport. The problem, I think, though, is what he said before. And you got to understand what was happening. He knew what he was doing all along. Mm-hmm. Because this comes up a little bit later. And it wasn't until Claire says she feels they don't see each other romantically. And you saw Cameron's face and I went, that's it. Right there. And then it went another step. Because she then says, I know, I expect us to grow while we're here, because I don't expect us to leave here. We're not even holding hands. He's like, wait a minute. But you said you don't even like that. And she's like, well, I don't, but, well, it's kind of hard to say. So, you know, whatever. He's confused. She's confused mm-hmm. him. So he's like, she is not attracted to me. Therefore, I ain't getting none. I'm going to leave her ass, right? We friends? All right, cool. And that's why he was walking the way he was. That's why in the jet bridge, he was like, and he was just like, hey, don't leave me. I'm right here. And he's like, yeah, I see you.
Yeah.
I'm getting on this damn plane.
Well, I agree. I do think that's the problem. But I put that blame on Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is, you know, was it Chris Rock that said that women need compliments, right? Mm-hmm. If you are attracted to this woman, which he said he was at the wedding, and he's attracted to her, but he's not really doing the things to show that are not like touchy, feely, sexual stuff. He's mm-hmm. not giving her the compliments. Hey, you know, I'm just really happy to be with you.
Right.
All those different things that you got to say to nurture the relationship. He's not doing any of that.
But he said he's not that person.
I get it. But the problem is she needs that.
Yes.
And so if he's not going to say it, and she's not articulating it well to him mm-hmm. that she needs that, this is going to be a problem. But the moment that she was like, yeah, we're just not romantically with each other, that just shut him down. Any man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, then forget it then. I'm not even going to try. You know, I've gone on some dates where I'm like, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to put myself in the friend zone and just be like, all right, then we cool. I'll dap you up. Hey, thanks for the movie.
Uh-huh. Is this one check or two?
Three.
Yeah, separate checks. Give her 2/3 of it too.
Separate checks, please. Be like, Terry, you want to hang out and have dinner tomorrow? Actually, I got a date tomorrow. I'll holler at you next week. We friends.
We can watch the football game on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, I'll meet you at the sports bar.
Lucy B says, at first I thought Cameron was just turned off because Claire didn't shower before bed and got into bed with them nasty ass feet. All right, I added that part. He's just a jerk. Lucy B says he's just a jerk. I can't argue this because he was being a jerk. It's all that stuff in the airport, then get there and like, well, you packed it, you carry it. What are you talking about? You're the man in the room, in the relationship, in the friendship.
Yeah. he's just not that, he's just not that type of dude. And I don't know. I feel like maybe something went wrong in the honeymoon suite mm-hmm. that it's just not been resolved and got this far.
Right.
Because now that I think about it, if I'm with a girl, we've been out all day, we have the wedding reception, you throw your nasty dress on the floor,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's going to be in my head.
Right.
And then I realize I just took a shower and you put your stank self in the bed right next to me? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, true. That is very true. Well, look, man, this is one of those things where I'm assuming we're going to pick up next episode right here and see what goes from there. There are a lot of things that popped up in the chat too, right? I know you didn't watch forward, but we're going to have to talk about it because it keeps coming up, right? And it's one of those things dealing with Lauren and Orion, right? And it's about what happened with her. And Melissa's said the hint is that she slept with a producer. It could be a curveball they're throwing at us.
Yeah, I don't think
it's going to be that's the case.
It's too easy. It's, they always do that. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, the thing that they did tease that you didn't watch last time, because you say you stopped watching once they say, next time, this season, you just go, that's the end, and roll out. What they did show was Orion talking to Lauren and saying, well, did you sleep with... And there was a big issue, right? And so now what she's saying is one of those online rumors is that it was with a producer, which if you're a producer...
you produce.
It's shout out to produce. Hey, shout out to Auntie's advice too, because you know Auntie showed us a lot of love in early on for us, and we definitely appreciate it. Says, hey guys, long time no see. Glad you're keeping up the good work, and trust me, we're definitely seeing a lot of the work you do too, Auntie. So appreciate you and appreciate all the love as well too.
I watch a lot of her stuff, and if y'all haven't started following her, definitely follow her podcast. It's hilarious.
By the way,
it's not recaps, it's rants. I like it.
Hey, Auntie also said, between y'all wait time at the barbershop and the cut, y'all spend a good 2 hours in the bar. You know, okay, I will say this. At least mine is cut in half because I don't do wait time. I do not go to the barbershop anymore without an appointment. Granted, they're never on time. You could be the first one and you're still not going to start as your assignment. It's like going to the doctor. It's never going to start on time. And I know that. So, see, but it's not 2 hours.
This is why I love my barbershop. Shout out to Big City Barbershop here in Austin, Texas off Stasny. Casey is the shit. I have a standing every Saturday, 12 o'clock appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And like clockwork, I'm out of there by 12:30. He has beer, liquor, sports is on. 30 minutes, I'm in and out. Now, occasionally, he will text me 5 minutes before the appointment going, hey, man, my bad. I'm not going to be in today. And I've already drove 20 minutes. But it's occasional. But other than that, he gets a pass.
Yeah. Look, a lot of auntie love in here. And definitely a lot of it. And I will say this. My barber, I remember he hit me one time. I was like, hey, I'm running about 30 minutes late. I'm like, dude, I'm 2 minutes from the barbershop. So if you want to add that kind of wait time, yes, you're all right. Now, Smokey J, I will say I missed this. I can't believe I missed it. And Terrell didn't bring it up because usually if I miss it, Terrell's the first one to be like, how did you miss it? Did y'all see the suitcase on the bed? And I think someone said earlier it was Cameron who put the suitcase on the bed. Did you see that one? Well, you wouldn't because you don't care.
Truth, this is when they got into Cancun?
I believe so.
Okay, truth be told, as I was watching this, I was drinking vodka. And I'm looking at my notes, and I can tell when it started to get a little blurry. I'm like looking like, what did I type last night? So I probably missed that.
Like Chocolate Suda said, must be that Russian water, Tara.
Yeah.
This is going to be an interesting season. I can't wait till we get to this whole and unraveling this thing with Lauren and Orion, because I already know, and half of y'all in this chat right now are going to blame Orion for what happens. So I can't wait. And you're going to prove me right, and I appreciate it. But looking forward to the rest of the season. Don't forget, we're back next Thursday, and we'll be right here to do this again every Thursday. Recap Married at First Sight, Season 17.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm Yanni Root.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on our regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.